Hello, I'm Rory Bremner, and this is the News Now quiz show. Here at Radio 4 Comedy, we're like one big family. We rarely talk, and we can't stand each other. But you'll be pleased to hear our New Year's resolution is to get on better. So with that spirit of the season in mind, we've invited friends and rivals from the Now Show and the News Quiz to have one too many glasses of Buckfast. That would be one glass of Buckfast. And take part in a battle to the death. That would be two glasses of Buckfast. To discover who will have news bragging rights in 2013. So without further ado, let's meet the teams representing the News Quiz. She's the Dane with a brain, the maiden from Copenhagen, the host with the most number of phone books boosting her seat. It's Sandy Toksvig. And joining her backstage, we thought he was being a curmudgeon. Turns out he was just trying to tell us he was choking on a humbug. It's Jeremy Hardy. And representing the Now Show, he's a man with an encyclopedic knowledge of the news because he's got a smartphone hidden in one pocket and John Holmes in the other. It's Steve Punt. And joining Steve, Mock the Week, Outnumbered, Fast and Loose, you name it, he's missed Now Show rehearsals to appear in it. It's Hugh Dennis. So, just to get us started, Sandy and Jeremy, which stories from 2012 are you sad to say goodbye to?
I think Leveson. I think what we need is just a more open-ended inquiry where we just sort of have a broadly more existential look at ourselves and just inquire and just think, what are we here for? What are we doing? Why are we bothering?
So instead of people who've had their phones hacked, everybody who's got a phone should appear at the inquiry.
I think we should go back to the days when the phone could plug into the house. Yeah. You didn't have to have it with you. It was a happier time.
I'm looking forward to the film version of the Leveson inquiry. Although I think Hugh Grant playing Hugh Grant will be a stretch. I'm not sure. I can't get enough of the Eurozone crisis. It's the most exciting thing.
The Danes have kept out of it, haven't they?
Yes, what we did is it's an old-fashioned idea. We didn't buy things we couldn't afford. It's a ridiculous...
But you Vikings, you forage more than buy, don't you?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you get on a boat, you nip over. It's kind of like we do, you know, nip on a ferry, go over to France. You just take our women.
Yeah, well, certainly in my case, that is true.
Stephen Hugh, what are you hoping you don't have to deal with on the Now Show in 2013?
I don't want to have to do any of those stories where it counts as news that people are sleeping overnight outside a shop to buy a new electrical item. Apart from anything else, in London it's very confusing because generally when people sleep on a pavement outside a shop, they're homeless people. And it's not fair on them because there are a whole generation of kids being told, don't give them any money, they'll only use it to buy an iPhone.
I'm hoping not to have to cover the Olympics again. I'm also hoping not to do, you know, I'm hoping not to deal with the Greek debt crisis, and I now wish I hadn't lent Prince Philip that tenner.
He's not really Greek.
He is really Greek.
No, he's German. Come on, it's the royals. They don't marry outside the family.
Actually, I think the Greek royal
family
is Danish.
Oh,
what?
No.
Originally, far as I know, the Greek royal family comes from a sub-branch. Aren't they all interrelated?
They're all Victorian, aren't they?
Some sort of Indo-European DNA.
Yeah.
How did the Vikings get round to Greece?
Well,
it's a long way.
It's a long row, but it's perfectly possible.
Danair.
Yeah.
No, Prince Philip is German. He's a member of the Greek royal family, but he's a Kraut.
That's like saying all the Queen is German. She's a member of the British royal family, but she's German. Well, she's not really German.
She is German.
Well, isn't her real name that cake? Battenberg. Isn't she really
it's
a Battenberg?
Her name is
She'd be
Von's
covered in marzipan. She's not.
Okay, now, 2012 saw loads of people making a big splash. People like Emily Sande, Caitlin Moran and Tom Daley. Though, sadly, that big splash meant Tom Daley had to settle for bronze rather than the elusive gold medal. But in this round, I'd like teams to nominate who they think will make a difference to the news agenda for 2013 and make a case for why. So, Steve and Hugh.
Who do you think, Steve?
Who do I think? Well, Jeremy Hunt. He's gone to Health, and I just wonder whether he will approach his job at Health the way he did at Culture, you know, and be caught texting Ronald McDonald and announcing his plans for the NHS on Bupa notepaper.
Don't you find the worse he is, the higher he gets promoted?
It's astonishing, isn't it? By the end of 2013, he may well be Prime Minister.
By 2014, he'll have the top job in the Conservative Party. He'll be leader of the opposition.
it may not be a person that's making a splash. I did some quick bit of research, actually, as to what next year is in terms of International Year of... And next year is the International Year of Water Cooperation. So that's a big one. It's also the International Year of Chilean Innovation.
Oh, I knew it was coming up. I didn't know it was next year.
Are the Chileans particularly innovative? They're very good at lifts, aren't they? Was that last year? That was the year before, wasn't it? Where they got the... There was about 40...
The miners?
People. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that makes them good at lifts, does it? It makes them quite bad at mining.
You'd think they'd have got the lift in first, really. That would
I
be
think
your
they
first
got the lift in from America, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think so.
Steve reads the papers.
How did they get down in the hole without the lift?
They dug. What do you mean? That's what they are. They're miners.
You just
that's what they're doing.
You can down a hole. You don't need a lift.
So what, presumably that would happen to anybody. If you just dig and dig and dig and dig without any plan B as to how you're going to get out, you're going to end up in that mess, aren't you?
That's George Osborne and the Deficit, in fact.
Is Chile the long, thin one down the side?
It's the other side of the Andes, isn't it?
So it's basically just the beach, isn't it? So they're quite cunning. They've basically got all the beachfront property in South America. They're not stupid.
It's going to be quite difficult having a mine in sand, though. Maybe that was their problem.
Because it just keeps collapsing in on itself, doesn't it?
That's why they need the water to cooperate.
See? She's not just a pretty face. Do one of your funny voices, Rory. We used to like you when you did your funny voices. In the old days.
I'm not good at funny voices anymore, you know that. Right. Okay. So, Jeremy and Sandy, who do you think is going to make a difference in 2013? Go on.
That was just John Major after a stroke.
Come on, who's going to make a difference?
I think it's going to be Nadine Dorries. What a shining example she is. I love Nadine. I think she's taught us the way forward. I think that rather than telling her off for going off into the jungle, I think all MPs should live full-time in an area where legislation is done by Bush-Tucker trial. But I don't think they should go abroad for it because it's expensive. I think it should be done in centre parks in Nottingham.
There was a slight dispute as to whether it was Nadine or Nadine.
Depends if you're Chuck Berry. Yeah. If you're Chuck Berry, it's Nadine.
Yeah.
And let's face it, she's Denmark's Chuck Berry, I think, really.
Who?
You. You are. You're the Chuck Berry of Copenhagen.
Obviously, you're not the first person to say that.
Jeremy, who do you think is going to make a difference?
I think cables are going to freak out, like Yul Brynner in Westworld, or Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
So you think he's going to flip out?
It's going to be like the original Rambo film, First Blood, which was good with Stallone when he freaks out. He's a Vietnam vet. A lot of people don't realise how many pets were injured in the Vietnam War. He's going to go offline. He's just going to freak out.
He does remind me... Do you remember Porridge with Ronnie Barker? Do you remember the prison officer, Barraclough?
Yes, Mr. Barraclough.
Yes, that's Vince Cable, I think. I'd really rather you didn't raise tuition. Oh, you've done it already. What are you like, Cameron? OK, at the end of that round, I'm going to award 2 points to each of the sides. Well done, guys. Now, 2012 saw a number of events which made us glad to be British. The nomination of Mitt Romney in the US presidential election, for example. But as the rest of the world battled its way through recession, Britain decided to hold not one, but two massive parties, the Queen's Diamond Jubilee and the Olympics. But can our panel tell them apart? They both featured bravery and medals, and they both ended in a urine test. So without further ado, let's crack on with the next round. Jubilee or Olympics? Buzz in if you think you know the answer. Which of these saw a total rainfall of 17.4 millimetres, the Jubilee Flotilla or the entire Olympics tournament? Sandy.
It was the Jubilee Flotilla. I know this because I was part of it, and I was on one of the boats, and we never even saw the boat next to us. It was so much rain.
You're a Viking, you'd be used to that.
I didn't say I minded, I just said I couldn't see.
So when you were on the flotilla, did you keep jumping on the land and burning down villages?
Yeah. We raised large parts of Battersea on the way down. Fantastic.
All those dogs.
Why were you chosen for that? Why did you get that gig?
Why did I get
In other words, why didn't I get that gig?
I don't know why, because they never came to us in the 12 hours of broadcasting. I've prepared loads of interesting facts about the history of the Thames.
Well, you were the
At
only
least
one.
Somebody had.
Yeah. That's astonishing. You know an interesting fact about the Thames? It's not actually a river, it's a mammal.
That's the kind of information I would have been free with.
No, it was the Jubilee Flotilla, because if you remember, it bucketed all day, and Prince Charles spent the whole day wandering around saying, when's this bloody rain going to stop? Which isn't the most tactful thing to say to your mother on her Jubilee, but... actually, after the whole thing, Prince Philip did spend 5 days in hospital with a bladder infection. What do you do? I insert catheters, Your Highness.
Yeah, you're just taking their piss now.
About which event did Boris Johnson say, it was thought I would not look elegant in the Lycra? Jubilee or Olympics? Sandy.
It's got to be the Olympics, isn't it? Did he not hang in a zip wire showing us his tackle? Did he not?
There wasn't an actual event, I don't think, hanging in the zip wire.
I didn't watch any of the Olympics. I don't know. I think hanging in a zip wire would be a rather fine sport. Can I just say that I think I am the only person in Britain who didn't watch a single solitary second of the Olympics.
No!
But I did park easily in London, and for that I'm enormously grateful.
So is that your final answer?
What do you think, Dan?
I think it's Boris, because there wasn't a lot of Lycra in the Jubilee.
We know it was Boris, but was it...
No, I mean, I think it was... What's this game again? What? Should I just get the twister mat out?
Yes.
We're trying to guess whether Prince Philip is Greek or German, I think.
Let's play Cluedo. You know, they've renamed all the people in Cluedo, and it's not Colonel Mustard anymore. Oh. I know. It's not right. He's just called Mustard, and he's rather sexy. And there's no Professor Peacock anymore. I know. It just seems all wrong in the world.
Is it Captain Peacock from Are You Being Served?
Is it Osborne in the chamber with the benefit cuts? Is that... No, so it is...
We think it was the Olympics.
Well, so Stephen Hugh... It must be the Olympics, and he must be talking about the cycling, because they wouldn't be talking to him about anything other than cycling, would they?
Oh, because
of the Boris bikes. Nobody rode. I was rather disappointed in the Olympic cycling because of...
This astonishing thing, every time you arrived at a railway station in London, there'd be Boris's voice going, don't come to London, it'll be full up. It was fantastic. 2 weeks of not any traffic at all in London.
And we had to be really nice, because we knew that we would get a bad reputation around the world if we weren't super friendly to all the visitors. So people would come up to you and say, could you tell me, please, if you're at the Olympic Stadium, if they were from France or somewhere. And you'd have to be the best Londoner that they could possibly hope for and say, well, of course I can tell you where the stadium is. Follow me, Chum-chum-any, Chum-chum-any.
Do you know the top of the escalators in every London tube station that I went to, rather than just having this notice saying, stand on the right, please, which seems perfectly reasonable, there was a big sign at the top just saying, a little courtesy won't do you any harm. And then a picture of someone standing on the right.
Years ago, I was at Dublin Airport. I noticed a sign that said, for those unused to escalators, please use the stairs. The only problem was that they'd put the sign at the top of the escalator. And as I was reading it, I fell off.
No, well, I'm afraid you are both barking up the wrong tree, both teams, because they were worried that Boris would not look elegant in Lycra in the Jubilee Flotilla, because that was why he turned down the chance to row on the Gloriana.
You see, you were fooled there, because you should have just gone for the other thing. You should have.
If I might say, you were commentating on the flotilla.
Yeah. I did say that I saw nothing. I saw nothing at all.
Were you in one of the submarines?
I was.
I think you're thrown by the fact that we talk about Boris being elegant, because he does sort of personify elegant, doesn't he, Boris Johnson, as in Nelly the Elegant.
Do your Boris voice, Boris.
Go on.
We liked when you did your funny voices.
It's funny, though, the most abiding memory for me of the Olympics wasn't Mo Farah doing the mobot or Hussein doing his thing. It was the Mayor of London dangling from a zip wire, waving a Union Jack, going, no, give me a ladder, give me a room, no, give me a photographer, give me a photographer. Okay, still, Olympics or Jubilee, which event prompted one commentator to say, what a wonderful night, just a shame about Paul McCartney? Jeremy.
I think I said that, didn't I? Thank you, Paul McCartney, for 10 years of magic and 40 years of absolute shite.
This just proves that he is the go-to person for when you want the audience on their feet and leaving.
But you know, in the ceremony, the opening ceremony for the Olympics, you know, they had that sort of timeline. So we went through history, didn't we? And they made a mistake with the cameras at one point. It appeared to go agrarian revolution, industrial revolution, the Beatles, World War One. And I thought, no, that's wrong. Then when I saw Paul McCartney, I thought, no, possibly that's right.
Did you not think it was a bit tactless that the army were involved? Come on, it's the Olympics. It's an international event, and we have been at war with most of those countries at some point. Could you just keep a low profile for 3 hours?
To be fair, the army didn't want to be there. It's because G4S didn't bother to turn up.
The answer was, in fact, it could have been both, but it was actually specifically, it was a quote from a contributor to an Olympics discussion forum. Just give it up, Heather. He's moved on. Right. Okay, at the end of that round, I'm going to award... I think that was a pretty much a draw, wasn't it? Because I think...
This game we're playing?
Are you just making this up? Is it just sort of random?
This isn't Gardener's Question Time, is it?
I don't think they have scores in that, do they?
That'd be great. It'd be so much more exciting, wouldn't it?
They edit the scores out. The actual live show is very competitive.
Yeah.
And apparently filthy. Yeah.
But they're great names, aren't they? Sourbutts and Flaudium and Pippa Grobag and all these other things. Fantastic. OK, teams, time for your topical tips. OK, I'm going to award you 2 rounds each for
two
that.
2 rounds each?
That's amazing. Is that... Cheers.
OK, well, two rounds...
People think that hosting lark is easy. They think...
OK, two points
each.
Do
your funny voices, Rory.
Which one do you want?
Peter O'Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, Peter O'Sullivan.
OK, at the end of that round...
You see?
I 2 points to the ones on my left and sneaking up on the rails on my right. Another 2 points at these. We're moving on now to round four.
Meanwhile,
how
back
do
in
F. Scott Fitzgerald? you should have gone on Stars in Their Eyes.
Yeah.
You know that, and you could have said, and tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Richie Beno. And you come out and there's people doing a terrible dance routine behind you. And say, hey, it's a wonderful sunny day here at Headingley.
In this next round, I'll be describing a survival pack for a newsworthy person, something they'll definitely need for the new year, and the panel have to guess who that person is. So, for example, Sebastian Coe will need an Olympic highlights DVD to get him through his empty summer, and Jeremy Hunt would need the incriminating photos he so obviously has of David Cameron. Teams buzz in if you think you know. First up, we've got a model yacht, an apology letterhead, and a copy of the King James Bible. Steve.
That's Michael Gove, isn't it? Who wants
yes,
to
it
give
is.
A King James Bible.
Go on.
To every hotel in the world. And what were the other two?
Well, a model yacht.
The yacht.
A model
for, it was
yacht.
The Queen.
Well, he wanted to give the Queen for her birthday.
£60 million. It was a snip.
She's too old to handle a yacht. All that rigging and stuff. Pedalo would be about all she could manage, I think.
Michael Gove's like the Gollum of politics, isn't he? He's a really... It's just such a weird idea. He was going to spend £370,000 giving every school a Bible on which his name was going to be bigger than that of King James.
If you were going to have a signed Bible, you'd want it signed by God, really.
Well.
Yeah, well, you're right. It was Michael Gove, the man who this year sent a letter of apology to his old teacher for his bad behaviour as a schoolboy, just showing that Conservatives hate young people so much they even hate young versions of themselves. Next up, we have a book of Jordanian law, a 2013 calendar and a postcard of Belmarsh Prison saying, wish you were here. Jeremy.
It's one of the
Abus,
one is it?
Which
Abu Hamza?
Yeah.
No, Abu Qatada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them.
One of the Abus.
It's Apu from The Simpsons. it's the one who's Jordanian.
Abu Qatada.
Who has avoided deportation until Jordan can absolutely promise that they don't torture people.
Where did Abu Hamza go?
Come on, we've all had a drink. Abu Hamza's in America, isn't he? In Chokey.
In Choking?
He's already got
that sounds like a Broadway show.
He's the one with the hook, isn't he?
He's got more than the hooks. He's got all kinds of appliances. He's got a garlic press. See, this is the measure of British law. We've got no evidence against him, so we just mock the fact that he's got no hands. That'll do for us.
You've said Abu Qatada and Abu Hamza, but what one person connects those two? Is the answer
the Home Secretary? The Home Secretary, Theresa May.
Absolutely. 2 points there. And the next one, 1,000 gags about tax avoidance, a map of the UK with Jersey and Guernsey circled, and some humble pie. Hugh.
I imagine that's Jimmy Carr, is it?
Yes, indeed.
I haven't got any jokes about it. I just want the points.
No, it's Jimmy Carr who hosts 8 out of 10 cats, although according to his accountant, it was just 2 out of 10. But this is going to follow him now, wherever he goes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the tax authorities are going to send him a birthday card every year saying, many happy returns. Next one. Bus map of France, helmet with a padlock on it, some Tippex and a book of Tour de France records.
It's Lance Armstrong.
It is indeed.
Is it?
Will you stop?
I was going to say the other one.
Sandy, can we have a proper chairman, please?
I was going to say the other one. Isn't...
Children.
I thought Lance...
I bloody love not being in charge.
I thought Lance Armstrong was the one who invented the moon. And that was Louis Armstrong.
He won 7 times, but in fact, it turns out that he didn't win at all.
He was sniffing more than Tippex, wasn't he? I think he was off his head the whole time. Taking that many drugs, it's a miracle he could even get on the bike. I don't know. You should get prizes for the amount of drugs you can take and still carry out a race, I think.
I love the fact his biography was called It's Not About the Bike. And we now know how true that was.
That's a great idea. The off your head Olympics is a really good idea.
The paralytics.
Yeah.
Come, Jeremy, our work here is done.
Hugh, you're the expert on this stuff. You've actually cycled in the Tour de France.
The actual thing. I did the amateur stage. They do it before the race happens, about 2 weeks before it, 8,000 amateur riders gets a ride a stage.
Fantastic.
I actually did the Amazon stage, which is where you bicycle while reading a book. And
with only one arm.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Here's my guilty secret. I can't ride a bike.
Can you not?
No.
Well, there's one thing less to forget.
That's true. I can't ride a bike.
Can you swim?
Yeah.
What's the connection with between bike. Those two?
My
parents... Did your parents not buy you a bicycle?
No, so I thought well, there's no point teaching him to ride a bike. He clearly hasn't got one. Yeah, no, I never learnt to ride a bike. It's too late to learn now. Why? If my dad were holding onto the back of a bike with me sitting on it, it would be to steady himself.
I'll teach you.
Can you?
Yeah, get your training wheels and everything. A little helmet. You look so sweet.
Yeah, but your helmets have all got horns coming out.
Yeah.
If I'm running alongside, I've got to hold on to something.
You should get Hugh to teach you, really, because he's having done the Tour de France stage. Actually, that would be quite fun, because you could eschew the yellow jumper at the end. And you could just go off the Champs-Élysées in a Breton sweater, a beret and a string of onions around your neck. I would love to see somebody finish the Tour de France that way.
I don't think it's a yellow jumper, by the way.
Is it more of a cardi? It's a mayo.
It's a mayo, isn't
exactly.
It?
It's a sort of cardi.
You're just splitting mohairs now.
Okay. Rory, do the funny voices.
Oh, well, at the end of that round, I think that Stephen and Hugh have 6 points and Sandy and Jeremy only have 2. Now, who would you like next? Ned Sheeran. Now, as we approach Twelfth Night, it's important to remember that the festive season isn't just about expensive gifts and massively ungrateful children. It's also a time for remembering the birth of a man born over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, do him. He's dead as well.
I'm just about to. You trod on the joke. Welcome to...
What I think happened there was that... Would I be right if I said that Jeremy hadn't read his script at that
point? Is this a play? Do I get murdered?
In a minute, yes. Okay, as we approach Twelfth Night, it's important to remember that the festive season isn't just about expensive gifts and massively ungrateful children. It's also a time for remembering the birth of a man born over 2,000 years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, children, welcome to Strictly Camel Face.
And for this next round, I'll read a series of statistics related to 2012's news, and you buzz in to tell me if you think the number involved is higher or lower than in the previous statement. OK, the first number is 4,302. Anyone want to hazard a guess as to what that relates to?
4,302.
Buzzers, please. Thank you. Sandy.
Did you say 4,302?
I did, yes.
I was just checking.
What does that relate to?
Might relate to absolutely anything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there really no more of a clue than that?
OK, it's related to 2012's news, and it's a statistic.
Is it the total number of pages in the Leveson report?
No, it's not.
Is it the number of hours it's going to take to edit this programme?
OK, I'm going to put you out of your apathy. And start you off by telling you it was the number of athletes who competed at the London 2012 Paralympic Games.
OK. Oh.
According to a reliable source.
Okay. I can't believe that number didn't stick in my head.
So, was the number of pounds in the bank account of Harry Redknapp's dog, Rosie, higher or lower than 4,302?
Do we have to buzz?
Yes. Thank you, Hugh.
Higher.
Yes.
It's quite a lot higher, I seem to remember.
Lower.
Hang on, you're beginning.
I love this game.
Yeah. But Harry's a simple bloke. Is more higher or lower than less? I don't know. No. I don't know nothing like that. Honest, I don't, Governor. I thought my dog was an accountant. What's money then, eh?
Haven't we all at some point opened an account for a pet in Monaco?
Well, Hugh was right. It was higher. Because the Sun reported in January that Harry Redknapp's dog, Rosie, had £189,000 in his bank account.
That's probably why he married her.
Hang on. So the dog... Yeah.
You'd have a pet like that if they were that rich, wouldn't you?
It is actually. It's quite easy, though, to train dogs in finance and stuff like that. Because I only let mine play the lottery when it rolls over. But anyway.
Tell you what, I'm going to go down. I'm going to go down to Battersea.
I'm going to say,
if more dogs were rich, there wouldn't be so many in Battersea Dogs Home. I mean, if I were to go there and they would say, "What kind of dog you're looking for?" I'd say one with its own private account in Monaco. To be honest with you, I mean, I like a friendly one that doesn't bite kids, but if I've got the choice, if it's independently wealthy, I'll go for that.
If it was a spaniel, you'd have a tracker account, couldn't you?
What's wrong with that?
Rory, funny voices. How many times do we have to tell you?
Go on, let's do more higher, lower.
I'm enjoying higher,
up.
Lower.
No, it was okay.
What?
It was higher.
It was higher.
Right, we're at 189,000 now. Okay, that was the amount of money in Harry Redknapp's dog. Oh,
can I just take the money?
Again, okay.
Go Stop. For the car.
We're on 189,000. Was the number of Americans without power due to Hurricane Sandy on the day of the American election higher or lower? And that was Hugh.
Higher.
It was, yes. It was 973,000.
I didn't even get a chance to say no.
But, Hugh, yes, your answer was right. It was more Americans, but why?
Why was it more Americans? Because I'll tell you the first reason. Yeah. It was in America. The second reason was it was quite a big power... outing.
Yeah, it was 973,759. Okay, is Nick Clegg's worth in pounds higher or lower than that? Hugh, again.
Higher.
Yes.
Why, Hugh? Why?
Because that's how much money he's got.
Because he's
got a house in the southeast.
Yeah, more to the point, his dog has got an account in Geneva.
I'll help you. At the time of the cabinet reshuffle, the Daily Mail stated that Nick Clegg was worth $1.9 million.
He's not worth anything. I mean, if you owned Nick Clegg, you'd think, do you know what, I think we'll just recycle him. Can I be bothered to put this on eBay? I mean, it's not worth the effort of dealing with it, is it?
It's true, the $1.9 million was based on his properties in London, but if you add in the value of his political influence, it stays at $1.9 million. And finally...
I'm just fed up with him saying higher. Fed up with it.
$1.9 million is the predicted cost of the Leveson inquiry in pounds, higher or lower? Sandy Toksvig.
What should I say? Go on. Go on, boss.
Higher.
Higher. Yes, it was. It is predicted to be £5.6 million.
Based on what? That shabby room?
No, the cast, I think, more than anything else. Okay, well, Sandy, you got in at the end there with your high. You got 2 points, but Steve and Hugh got 6 points in that round as well. Well done. But there's still all to play for as we head into our next round. What's the story? Our memories are a little fuzzy in the wake of New Year's celebrations, so we can't quite remember what we were talking about in these News Quiz or Now Show extracts. It's down to our panellists to see if they can remember, or more likely just take a wild stab in the dark at which news story the following sound clips relate to. First up, Stephen Hugh. What prompted John Finnemore to say this?
No, what actually happened was that everyone behaved as if the High Court had illegalised nuns.
Was it the legalisation of nuns?
Getting warmer.
Was that to do with somewhere in Devon? Where
yes,
they didn't have anywhere
well.
To worship.
Yes.
They claimed they were being religiously discriminated against for some reason, and then...
It was Biddeford Town Council.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Higher.
It was Biddeford Town Council. They were told by the High Court they were no longer allowed to say prayers at council meetings. Sandy and Jeremy, it's Roisin Conaty on the News Quiz. What was the story?
So that was really nice. The breakfast was rubbish, though. You know, there's only so many times you can eat pears. And then, like, four down, they'll go, I went to this place. You know what I really love? Pears. Because so many holidays just don't... They don't give you pears for breakfast.
It's not as easy as I thought this round. Pears.
Does it relate to pears in some...
This is bizarre. You haven't a clue what goes on in your own church.
Is this Biddeford Town Council?
No idea.
Pears. No idea. What's she talking about? She's talking about breakfast at hotels with pears. Who's Roisin Conaty?
We know that.
It really is like having four James Murdochs on the panel. No, it was the news that, shock horror, some things on the internet, in this case reviews on travel website TripAdvisor, may not be 100% kosher.
Well, pears
still
don't
ring
have to be kosher, do they? That's silly.
Pears are kosher,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. They're not killed in an inhumane manner.
OK, from now on, you'll be relieved to hear anyone can buzz in. Here's Lloyd Langford on The Now Show. What's the story?
You fight crime by narrowing down the suspects, not increasing them to around 62 million. That's why when Inspector Poirot calls all of the potential murderers together at the end of one of his investigations, he can do it in the drawing room of a stately home rather than on a 20-mile square patch of land he's had to reclaim from the sea.
What's he talking about, Stephen Hugh?
I think he's talking about the internet, isn't he? He's talking about the government having access to emails and...
Yes.
And tweets.
It was Theresa May, again, and her draft communications bill, otherwise known as the...
Draft communications bill.
The Snoopers Charter.
The Snoopers Charter, absolutely. Okay. It's a basic invasion of privacy, said Margaret Dwyer in a phone call to her friend Gaynor at 2:37 p.m. last Tuesday. And finally...
Go on, then.
Here's Susan Cowman. What prompted the following?
Woke up, no pants. I said, where are my pants? And they said, oh, we don't know. And I went, no, someone's taken my pants. I was still a bit woozy and I suspect I was slightly more aggressive than was necessary. With the blood all over me going, where are my pants? Where are my pants? They went missing.
Do you know, that is the sort of answer Susan would give to almost any subject.
I think
that could be anything from Greek debt to the Leveson inquiry.
I think it's Mohamed Morsi claiming powers that have provoked massive protest in Tahrir Square and resulted in him being called a dictator. We don't know.
No, I have no idea.
It was the week where a report called for more emphasis to be put on ward rounds in hospitals and for doctors to try and see patients as whole people rather than just their medical conditions. Oh, although if you listen to Susan, it proves that in some circumstances it's probably easier for the doctor to just crack on and treat the disease rather than try and work out why the mad woman is shouting at them about her missing lucky pants. OK, well, that's probably a draw that round, isn't it?
It's well, they got none right, we got one right. I don't wish to appear competitive, but we won!
OK, this next round is all about cracker jokes.
OK.
OK.
Does this just go on forever, this experience? When we go outside, is the world finished? Everyone we know is dead and there's just big dinosaurs walking around Tottenham Court Road. So we have to come back in here and start a new world by breeding with each other at random. I'm sorry, Sandra, you're going to have to try it.
OK, teams, cracker jokes. As it's the last few days of the January sales, these crackers were going for cheap and we got hundreds of them. Panellists, your job is to come up with more newsworthy punchlines. OK, question number one, cracker joke number one. What has four legs and can't walk? Steve?
Two middle-class children on the school run.
Very good. Any more?
A spider deemed fit for work by Atos.
Bernard Matthews turkey.
Very good, Jeremy. Number two, why was Santa's little helper feeling depressed?
Is it because back in Poland he was a head surgeon?
Santa told him to deliver via Jersey for tax reasons.
Ooh. Hey.
Just very remembering satirical. It's supposed to be about the year's news events.
Santa had sold off the National Elf Service.
Number three, what goes up and never comes down?
Boris Johnson's opinion of himself.
Very good.
Is it the price of petrol?
No, it is, in fact, your age. Keep jokes sick. Oh, my first three jokes. Hang on, sorry, I'm just going to read the instructions.
Start it's an IKEA instruction
thing. Hang on.
It's all diagrams. The show's from IKEA.
Light the taper.
Do not return to a joke once lit.
Very good. OK, what athlete is warmest in winter? Jeremy?
I didn't touch anything. Okay.
I think the wiring's a bit funny. Whoever wrong, presses, it comes on, up Jeremy.
Is that going to be Jeremy?
Hugh.
I wish someone would get that.
Let them in, someone, for God's sake.
Can you ask the question again? I forgot what it was.
OK.
OK, what athlete is warmest in winter?
I know. Oh, I should have buzzed and I said, I know.
We'll have to do that again now.
Yeah, sorry.
What athlete is warmest in winter?
I know. Oh, then again. Isn't that annoying? I've done it again.
Should it not be which athlete is warmest?
Is it? Okay. Oh. Surely it should say, which athlete is warmest in winter? Discuss.
Where do you get your Christmas crackers from, Hugh?
I think they come from
the Oxford University Press.
Anyway, whatever the question was, it is the one which is running the 3,000 heater hurdles.
Oh, very good.
I think it's Paralympians burning their belongings now the government has stopped their funding.
Is it Bradley Thermal leggings?
On the third day, the audience became restless.
OK, the answer, of course, to which athlete is warmest in winter is a long jumper. And...
You're losing them, Rory.
We're going to press on. Which country has the largest appetite? Jeremy?
Israel. It's always growing.
Is it Wales? That's an animal. That's a joke about an animal. An H. You can't see that on the radio, but if you saw that joke written down, you would have laughed.
Shouldn't it be what country?
Yeah.
Oh. Can we go home now?
No. Which country has the largest appetite? The answer is, of course, Hungary. Very good.
I see.
And finally, why did the man get the sack from the orange juice factory?
He was one... Oh,
Jeremy?
Because of the double pip recession.
Was he one of their five a day? I could go on all night, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you why he was fired. Mm? He was taking the pith.
Crack a joke. No, he got sacked because apparently he couldn't concentrate.
Wonder they don't have Christmas crackers all the year round.
At the end of that round, I'm going to randomly award you, what do we think, 5 points each? Yeah, 5 points each at the end of that round. Well done.
It is a slightly unusual quiz where the host asks the contestants what they think they should receive for the rounds. I mean, yeah. I like it. I like the whole idea of it, but it does kind of alter the competitive nature of it slightly.
I think Jeremy and I have not got enough points.
Please, sir, can we have some more?
Okay, before we reveal the final scores, it's just time for the teams to place their bets on what will be the story of the year in 2013. First of all, Stephen Hugh.
North Korea will land a rocket on the moon by aiming it at Tokyo.
I think possibly another children's entertainer is going to be revealed to have had a dark past. I suspect Basil Brush was probably a terrorist. Boom Boom was just a clue.
Very good. Extra point for Hugh there. Sandy and Jeremy, what will be the story of the year in 2013?
I think, annoyingly, the Church of England are going to reject women bishops again, but as a gesture, I think they're going to make Lily Savage Bishop of Durham. I think Kate's pregnancy will be in the news every single day for 6 months, and the entire nation will be admitted to hospital with extreme nausea.
Well done, Sandy. A massive 6 points for you there. The final scores, however, are that Sandy and Jeremy scored 23 points, but this year's Radio 4 Champions of Friday Night Comedy are Steve and Hugh with 26. So, well done, Steve and Hugh. Congratulations, you leave with your dignity, but don't worry, Jeremy and Sandy, I'm sure they won't be using it for long. It just remains for me to say thank you for listening and good night. The News Now quiz show was hosted by Rory Bremner and featured Rory Bremner doing the voices of Sandy Toksvig, Jeremy Hardy, Steve Hunt and Hugh Dennis. The chair's script was written by Jack Bernhardt, Roderick Crooks, Sean Harris, Tom Neenan and John Luke Roberts. And the producer was Lindsay Fenner.